"Teacher, we saw," said John. "Christ, give us the eyes to see. Amen." "Teacher, we saw." What did you see this week? Or in the words of a Mary Oliver poem, "Look and look again. The world is not just a little thrill for your eyes." What did you see this week? What a week. In some ways, like every other week, of course, and in some ways, like no other week. And the Spirit of God has been at work this week in every second of every day. But the question remains, where and how? Where did you see the Spirit of God at work this week? And so at the beginning of today's gospel, we hear the disciple John, one of Jesus' inner three, Peter, James, and John, say, "Teacher, we saw," and he goes on to recount something that has scandalized him, something that has become for him a stumbling block. Stumbling block in Greek is skandalon, from which we get the word scandal. This thing that's become a stumbling block is something that he is tripping over, and so he brings it to Jesus. John saw someone casting out a demon, doing that in Jesus' name, but not part of the circle right around Jesus. Casting out a demon seems like a good thing, yes? It's the first thing that Jesus does when his ministry begins in Mark's gospel. To heal someone of the stumbling block that has totally taken over that person's life, and doing that healing in Jesus' name, isn't that a good thing? But John's scandalized because the healer isn't part of what John identifies as Jesus' circle. Now, John's in good company in his being scandalized. You know that from the first reading today. Joshua, Moses' right-hand man during the 40 years in the wilderness, was scandalized also. He was scandalized because two men who weren't in the inner circle of Moses' 70 elders had received the Spirit and were prophesying. But notice, neither Moses nor Jesus is scandalized. They're both delighted that the Spirit of God is abroad in the land, at work in unexpected and surprising places, at work in those not in the inner circle. One might say not in the elected Senate, or not in the House of Bishops. The Spirit is at work in surprising places. "Don't be jealous," says Moses. "Don't stop the healer," says Jesus. "Rejoice that the Spirit of God is so powerfully at work, and don't worry yourself about the niceties of exactly in whom or precisely how that Spirit is at work. Would that God would make the Spirit fall powerfully on all people, so that all people would do the work of God and speak the powerful messages of God, becoming God's messengers, God's prophets in word and deed." So what did you see this week that you want to come tell Jesus about? And what reaction did it cause in you? A shouting out of fearful complaint? Or was there a kind of mysterious rising of a hymn of praise that sprung up in you in surprise at the powerful way that God can be at work? What do you want to pray to Jesus about this morning? Maybe you've already done it on Facebook, or in conversation, or in your prayer shouted at the television during the hearing, or whispered during the night to the Holy One, the ruler of the universe, the one who is creator and ruler of every senator and every man and woman at a Senate hearing, and of every girl and boy who ever attended a summer party, and of every human being who has ever placed a stumbling block, a scandalon, in front of another. And God is also the creator of every human being, you and me included, who would have been better off had a millstone, a stumbling block if ever there was one. We'd be better off if a millstone had been placed around our necks and we had been cast into the sea to stop us from being a further scandal, a stumbling block to one another. So I don't know what you saw this week, though I have my guesses. But here are two things that I saw, one of them live, and the other in the tape of recorded things that ran through my mind and heart as I paused and reflected and prayed. And I want to say this. Teacher, I saw a brave woman come before a group of powerful men and women to tell her story. A story in which she recounted something that has been a stumbling block to her ever since she was 15. A night of terror, a night of sexual abuse, of being controlled and laughed at by a boy 2 years older. And that's my shout. But here's my hymn of praise. Teacher, I saw your spirit at work in her courage, in her willingness to remember and to speak, to bear witness for her own healing and for the healing of others, for the casting out of the demon that has possessed her and her memory these many years. And teacher, I saw your spirit at work in the many other girls and women who came to stand by her, either in the flesh or in the spirit, and who themselves are seeking to cast out that same demon that has possessed them or others they know, and a demon that has possessed our whole society, to such an extent that 1 in 3 of that brave women's sisters have also been pursued by that same demon of sexual violence, and they too need healing. They need the healing balm of your spirit, teacher. They need to receive it from those of us who receive their witness as much as they need it from you. They need us to believe their story and to seek, in company with that unknown healer who so upset John the disciple, to seek to cast out that demon, to cast it into the sea, to drown it, so that no other girl or woman ever need be scandalized by this heinous stumbling block. That's what I witnessed live. And here's what I witnessed in memory, in reflection, and in prayer. Teacher, as the scenario unfolded in Washington, and I realized that her story had been unfolding with its many strands for a very long time, I realized it began on a July day near D.C. in the summer of 82 and had unfolded in her own memory and feelings all the years in between, and that a new strand had begun to be added to the story just this past July, on the 9th, when the president nominated for the Supreme Court the boy, now man, that she remembers assaulting and trying to silence her on that July night 36 years before. And so in my prayer and reflection, I went to my journal for July the 9th. And here's what I found. Teacher, this is what I witnessed on July the 9th. Let me bear witness to what I saw. It was a hot July day in New York City this July 9th. The scorching noon sun was beating down on the streets and sidewalks. I was on my way to meet someone, a poet and therapist, for whom I have served as spiritual director for many years. And then, by the grace of your Spirit, I saw this. A young woman, maybe in her late 20s or early 30s, sitting on the sidewalk on a few pieces of discarded cardboard. She was trying to shelter herself from the sun. She held an umbrella over her head. She was delicate, thin. Her dress had faded flowers printed on it. The material was worn thin. And in her lap was a small piece of cardboard that said simply, "Anything helps." And there, squatting next to her, was a young man, about the same age, but dressed very differently. Natty in his business casual attire, crisp ironed sport shirt, khakis with a razor sharp crease. He held two bottles of cold water, sweating from the heat, and he was extending them to her. As I passed, I heard him say, "Will you be here tomorrow?" She nodded yes, silently. And as he stood up, I heard him say, "I'll see you then at lunchtime. God bless and keep you in the meantime." He will by no means lose his reward, Jesus said. And so the Spirit is at work, the Holy Spirit of God, at work in a woman speaking before a Senate committee, at work in an exchange of love in the form of cold water on a sidewalk in New York City on a hot July day. That Spirit is at work in you, and God willing, in me. And by the grace of God, that Spirit is at work in every one of us here in this community. The Spirit has been shared among us. Don't count on it to be all in me. It is Stewardship Sunday, the day when we turn our eyes and hearts to witness the Spirit of God calling to us, calling us to choose how we will act. And I'm inspired this year by the young man on that New York City sidewalk, taking his money, using it to buy water for a young woman whose only home was that sidewalk. What did those bottles of water cost? I'm not sure, perhaps about a dollar apiece. But he decided to use those dollars for her and not for himself. And so the Spirit is calling to you today. What will you do with the money in your pocket, in your bank account? How will you give witness to the Spirit at work in your life so that the Spirit may reach, by your generosity, outside your own life and into the wider world? Will you give to Trinity a dollar or two a day to ally yourself with the Spirit at work here and in the world? Some of you, of course, already give far more than that to the work of the Spirit through Trinity. But to be perfectly blunt, some of you do not. We send out over 2,000 appeals at this season every year. And about 725 of you responded last year, each of you generously, whether you were able to give a dollar a week or much more. Thank you. Because every dollar is and was a witness to the Spirit at work in you and through you in the work of this parish. But you can do the math. If 725 of you pledged, that means twice that number did not give to Trinity this year. I'd like to challenge each of you to make a pledge in some amount. If you've given in the past, can you give more this year? The equivalent of a cold bottle of water more each week? That would be $52 a week more. And if you've never pledged before, can you begin that journey by giving, by pledging this year? A dollar a week? A bottle of cold water a week? Or if the Spirit's speaking to you to stretch more, what about a bottle a day? $365 for the year. I can promise you one thing, that the work we do here needs you and your bottle of cold water. The work of worship needs you, by which we worship the one who creates the water we give and the fellow creatures to whom we give it. The work of Christian formation needs you, by which we learn from the teacher that we have the chance to remove stumbling blocks from the way of life. The work of community life needs you, by which we form deeper bonds with one another, the friends, the sisters and brothers in Christ who help us stand up again in courage when we have fallen on a stumbling block. The work of the support of the poor and the social justice outreach that we do here in many kinds, each of those need you. Each of them. Each of those works of mercy bears the water of life to those who need it. And let me bear witness to what will happen to you if you give, because it's happened to me. I will bear witness in the words of a Mary Oliver poem. There are copies of it by the doors, and you may want to pick it up to take with you on the way home. It goes like this. Look, and look again. The world is not just a little thrill for your eyes. It's more than bones. It's more than the delicate wrist with its personal pulse. It's more than the beating of a single heart. It's praising. It's giving until the giving feels like receiving. You have a life. Just imagine that. You have this day, and maybe another, and maybe still another. Living and giving. This day. Maybe another day, and maybe still another. For as we like to say here, life is short. And teacher, we do not have too much time to gladden the hearts of those who travel the way with us. But by the living that is giving, by the living that bears witness, teacher, to your brave spirit at work among us, we can live and thrive and help others live and thrive. We can remove stumbling blocks from others' paths and help them, whether in a Senate committee room, or on a hot sidewalk in New York City, or here in Copley Square. Amen.
Standing together, we affirm the ancient faith of our church in the words of the Nicene Creed, which you may find on page 358.